Shalom aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. Birshus. We are Chavis Halvavis Shar HaBitachon, Perek Dalet. You should know that by heart by now. In my Lev Tov edition, it's page Shin Nun Hei. And we're in the middle of discussing the classic question of why, well, the different ways the question is expressed is, why is Olam Haba not discussed in the Torah? Why does the Torah only talk about reward and punishment in material terms, not in spiritual terms? Why doesn't the Torah describe the reward of Olam Haba? So we saw one reason yesterday. And that is that we really cannot comprehend the schar of Olam Haba as long as we're still in our material bodies. That's number one. We elaborated, and now we'll move on. Reason number two. So here we're on page Shin Nun Hei. Reason number two. Umehem, another reason is Shegmula Olam Haba v'anshoy. The reward of Olam Haba and the punishment of Olam Haba was already known among Klal Yisrael from the earliest of time. The masses knew it from the Nevi'im. And the Chachamim knew it philosophically as well, meaning the Chachamim understood b'derech haseichel that there must be an Olam Haba, and this was in fact corroborated by the tradition handed down by the Nevi'im, which all the masses were aware of. Everybody was aware of it. As we discussed, Nevuah, it was more than just that the Nevi'im were told about the concept of Olam Haba, but it was also more than that. The Nevuah was a form of experiencing Olam Haba. So therefore, the Nevi'im actually experienced it and they were able to give it over. I'm going to want to elaborate on that a little bit more. But meanwhile, let's see what the Chavos Halvavos says. Ve'inichu l'zachar b'sefer, and it was not mentioned in the Sefer and in the Torah. K'may she'inichu l'zachar habim e'pirush ha'mitzvah s'vachavos. Just as many things in the Torah are not spelled out in full detail. V'pnei she'samcha ala Kabbalah, because the Torah very much rides on Kabbalah. It rides on our oral tradition. I want to elaborate on that a little bit. First of all, as we said yesterday, Olam Haba certainly does get reference. It's alluded to in the Torah, and that much more in the Sifrei and the other Sfarim of Tanakh. We already mentioned yesterday a pasuk where Hashem tells Yeshua ben Yoitzadok, I will grant you a place. I will grant you a standing among these malachim. And there are other psukim as well. But also in the Torah itself, there are allusions to Olam Haba. It's just that the Torah doesn't elaborate on it anywhere. If you want just one example of where Olam Haba is actually alluded to in the Torah, you could say, you might even call this explicitly referred to in the Torah, is by when Bilam is talking about the Jewish people, he says a very amazing pasuk. He says, "Tamus nafshi moisi shoyim ushi achrisi kamayu." Let me die the death of the just, of the righteous, and let my end be like theirs. What's he saying? He's mamish referring to Olam Haba. Bilam as a navi got a glimpse of what's waiting for each of us, and he was so longing for it that he expressed that in his nevuah in those terms. If only I could die the death of the righteous and earn the end that they have. Okay. Now we come back to the point about the Nevi'im. Again, as we discussed yesterday, we have to understand that Nevuah was actually a kiss of Olam Haba. It was actually moving into Olam Haba for the moment. You see the way the Rambam describes the experience of Nevuah, the way Kuzari describes the experience of Nevuah. And the Chavetz Chaim tells us that the Nevi'im then came back and gave it over to everybody else. But you know what? It goes even further than that. The Kuzari says that the experience of Nevuah was something so intense, it was something so electrifying, it was so intense, that we all know that it's very famous that when a Nevi'im would have a Nevuah, they would completely, their senses would stop working. They would fall to the ground. They would be in a state of like paralysis. But it's even more than that. The Kuzari says that when a Navi is receiving prophecy, it's so intense that a person, a bystander, an observer standing on the side and seeing the Navi at the time that he's getting Nevuah, was so affected that he himself became a changed person for the rest of his life just by seeing what the Navi was going through. You know, like sometimes you can see bliss on a person or see horror on a person or something like that, in a way that it actually strikes you. So he says that the Nevuah was so intense that it affected the people watching it. Not the people hearing him give it over. I'm talking about the people who are standing here at the time when the Nevuah hit him and while watching him experience it, they were affected for the rest of their lives. So therefore, the reality of Olam Haba was something very, very real because it was actually experienced among Klal Yisrael. And I want to take it a step further. And here I want to move on to the answer that the Kuzari actually gives to this question, which resonates very, very profoundly for me. The Kuzari says, you know why the Torah does not describe the reward of Olam Haba? We'll get back to the Chavis Avavis, but for me, I think the Kuzari is something that really, really should be emphasized. He says, you know why the Torah doesn't mention the word of Olam Haba? Because the Torah actually set it up such that you could experience it in this world. The ultimate of that being Nevuah. But the Kuzari says, and this really just gives us a little bit of an inkling into what we're missing now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But the Kuzari says that we misunderstand the Torah's descriptions of the material plenty as reward for Shmiras HaMitzvahs. We think of it in very technical terms. We think of it in terms of rain is a good thing because it gives you food. And that's what the Torah is talking about. It talks about rain, it talks about peace, it talks about plenty, it talks about victories. But the Kuzari says that it's really something so much more than that. The Torah tells us that by observing the Torah optimally to the ultimate level, we will actually experience that otherworldly experience here in this world. Now, the ultimate of that is Nevuah, the way that we describe. But the Kuzari says that all those other things that are described, it's not just the technical benefits that we think of, but it's actually describing the symptoms of a reality of living with the open manifestation of the Shekhinah. I'll give you, this is something that we can only try to relate to because we're talking about a life experience that's something that we've never really experienced. We're trying to connect to a certain quality of life, to a certain dimension of life that we've never actually experienced. But just to give you a mashal, we've talked about this other times. But to give you a mashal, like we said, the Shekhinah in the time of the Beit HaMikdash was pulsing in a very live way in Klal Yisrael. People felt a live dynamic in various areas of life. Certainly if you were a Navi, certainly if you were actually visiting the Beis HaMikdash and experiencing the intensity of what was there in terms of the presence of the Shekhinah and how that was actually felt in a very tangible way. But also otherwise in Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, just one example that for me, it serves as a very central example here. The Gemara tells us, for example, that in the days of Shimon ben Shetach, wheat berries were the size of kidneys. I don't know exactly how big a kidney is. I don't know, something like this. A wheat berry is something tiny. A wheat berry is like the size of, you know, what the barley looks like when you buy it for Shabbos. And it grew to the size of, I don't know, something like this. Something very unnaturally large. Now we have to understand the significance of that. The Gemara here is describing the wonderful bliss of the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that wheat berries grew to be the size of kidneys. They grew to be this big. Now, okay, I understand that having luscious fruit is something very great. But is that like what's supposed to really turn us on and say, wow, I wish my wheat berries were so big. I wish that the barley I bought in this store was so big. It's such a shame to have such small barley seeds. Imagine the thrill of being able to make an entire challent out of two or three barley beans. Is that the significance of what the Gemara is telling us? We have to understand that, no, it's something much more profound than that. It's that imagine the Jew was putting extra effort into his tefillah this winter, this season. He's planting his field, and he's davening, he's making a special focus out of his avodas tefillah. We all decide sometimes to work on things. He's working on his tefillah, and you know what? There's a live dynamic that's playing out. He davens, and he sees his field just moving along at a very fast rate. And as he davens more, he sees an increase. And when the wheat finally sprouts, it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Just doesn't stop growing until it reaches the size of a kidney. This is so much more than the convenience of having very geshmaka wheat berries. This is about experiencing a very live, tangible dynamic with Hashem. This was an experience that was very, very thrilling. It was mamish. People were receiving interactions and dynamics like this on a regular basis, and this added a whole different dimension to quality of life. The thrill of that experience is something unimaginable. And the Kuzari is telling us that this all comes together when we talk about the plenty, when we talk about the uncanny peace. It's like the Ramban says that if you didn't get a cold this week, we won't call that a miracle. If you don't get a cold the entire month, we won't call that a miracle either. If you don't get a cold your entire life, that's already a bit more uncanny. Even though no open miracle happened here. And what happens if you are part of a very idealistic shul, which you are, but you know what? The whole kehillah goes for 15 years with nobody ever catching a cold. Because this is a kehillah that puts extra special efforts into their tefillah, into their avodas Hashem. Would you already say that this is already, we didn't see any open miracle here, but this is not something natural. And what happens if you have an entire country where nobody gets a cold for a decade? This is a country living in a different reality. And you put that together with the plenty that we were talking about, and you put that together with unnatural levels of peace and security. And we understand that these are all only symptoms of the experience of that live presence that's pulsing there. When a person bought a carbon, the Kuzari says, again, I don't know to tell you exactly what this is, but a person felt a certain expansion of self. Now, I don't mean a sense of fulfillment, something psychological. I'm talking about something that was very, very tangible that came from the energy present in the Beis HaMikdash. A person, the Kuzari says that today we philosophize about the meaning of Karbanos and the purpose of Karbanos because we never actually experienced the effect. He says that once you experience the effect, you stop wondering about the meaning of it. You know what it is. And therefore, like it's like today we don't philosophize too much about why you need food to nourish your body. First of all, it's such a given. You might take a step back and stop wondering about it. But you see that it's a fact, right? So he says when a person experienced, there was a certain, a person felt a certain expansion. I don't know how to describe it. Was it a clearer thinking? I don't know, because I've never experienced it. But this is a whole dimension, a quality of life that is something we haven't experienced because we have not lived with that open manifestation of the Shekhinah among us, which is really what we're davening for when we're davening for the restoration of the Shekhinah to Tzion. whatever it is, the Kuzari comes back and says, you know why Hashem didn't talk about Olam Haba? He actually was. He was telling you that by observing the mitzvahs, you will get a taste of what Olam Haba is. You'll get a taste of that reality of really living with the Shekhinah in an open way, of the thrills, which are nothing of the material world is really comparable to it. And ultimately, you can even get to Nevuah, which actually is a tour of Olam Haba. So it was something that really was extant among the Jewish people at the time. And therefore, he says, we don't really, essentially, it wasn't meant to be just something that was a promise for the afterlife. It was really meant to be something that you can actually experience through your own avoda. And therefore, the Torah didn't describe it. It just told you the means to get to it, and then you'll experience it yourself. Okay, so back to the Chavetz Chavavos. That's the Kuzari. The Chavetz Chavavos is saying a bit of that here when he says that Olam Haba did not need to be spelled out in the Torah because the knowledge of Olam Haba was something extant among the nation. The masses knew it because through the Nevi'im, and the Chachamim understood it philosophically. This is next reason. Umehem. Another reason is, I'm not going to go through the full lesson here. I'll say it in brief outside, so perhaps we can move on to the next one tomorrow. In brief, he says that Hashem works with people according to their level. The mashal would be something like this. Let's say a person wants his child to go to school. Why does he want his child to go to school? Wants his child to go to school because he wants him to gain an education so that he can be successful in life. Now, the four-year-old does not want to go to Gan, wants to stay home. I try sitting the four-year-old down and explaining to him the value and the benefit of having an education. Now, my father would say, God, Baba Maises, we do it because we need the babysitting services. Then you certainly can't convince your kid of it in that way. And I don't know, maybe after some experience with the Segers, we may agree with that very blunt way of putting it. But whatever the case is, no, chas v'shalom. We're only in it for the educational benefit. So coming back to that, you're going to sit down and tell your kid, well, do you appreciate what the benefits of education are? Do you appreciate that later in life it'll really serve you in this way and serve you in that way? You're not going to get a four-year-old to school that way. What do you tell the four-year-old? You tell the four-year-old, go to school nicely and I'll give you a lollipop. So the four-year-old understands that he's going to school. Why? He's going to school because he'll get a lollipop. And if he goes nicely every day of the week, he'll get a little car at the end of the week. That is the value of going to school, and that's the purpose of going to school. As he matures, you can take it to higher levels. Until ultimately, perhaps when he's about 17 or 18 years old, he can already appreciate the value of what he's doing in terms of what it's actually doing for him. So the Chavetz Chavavos says, Hashem starts with people at their level. And people first have to hear about the material benefits, the benefits in the here and now. Which, by the way, is an important principle for Chinuch also. You can't really operate with kids in terms of expectations of the future. Kids have to have very tangible here and now kinds of consequences, both in terms of prizes and rewards, and also when there need to be other things happening. If Chalila, there's need to implement punishments. But whatever the case is, that's why Hashem operated in this way. People start from a material place and then they grow from there. Hashem starts by talking in terms of material reward and punishment. And then as a person grows, which we hope a person does, and his understanding becomes more refined, we can move on to the higher, more sophisticated understandings of reward and punishment. Okay, we will stop here for tonight.